I wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for a moment to come together as people from different backgrounds, different cultures, different ways that we live our lives, to feel a movement of your Holy Spirit this day. God, I pray that somehow in this moment you might speak through me. Lord, that you would give us ears to hear what you want each of us to hear today, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might even be willing to be transformed. God, as we look at this world, might we learn from you in how to love the world. So Holy Spirit, do what you do and let me get out of the way this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're starting this new series today, and this is a series about trying to be more like Jesus when it comes to connecting in community. I think we need that in our world today. I think we need connection. I think we need to find ways to be connected with one another, find ways to be in relationship with one another. I think it's become a lost art. I really do. When I look around at people and I see the disagreements that people have, these are things that in many ways existed in the past, but I think we've forgotten how to be human together. So we're starting this series, and this is about being like Jesus. It's more than that. It's about taking on the attitude of Jesus. Philippians 2:5 starts off with, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Meaning we should care about the things that Jesus cares about. We should interact with people the way that Jesus interacted with people. We should love people in the way that Jesus loved people. So we're starting this series called The Jesus Attitude. And if you want to find out where you can really learn more about this, I encourage you to go and read the gospel accounts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you find a Jesus that cares about a lot of really important things that often go in contrast to the way that we live in the world, where Jesus calls us to love people deeply, to find people that are on the fringes, to engage people that are on the outside. I love to share with you things that I love to do. I call them my guilty pleasures. One of my guilty pleasures is to travel. I love going places, and I love it when you post pictures of where you're traveling. Last year, in the last 18 months, I went to 9 different countries, which was amazing and wonderful, and this year, I only have one country other than the U.S., one other place that I went, and I am getting the itch, y'all. So if you don't see me here next Sunday, it's because I found a place to go. No, in all seriousness, I love to go and experience the world. I love to experience the way other cultures interact. I love to experience the way people welcome people into their society. So a couple of months ago, I was having the itch again, but looking at the fact that I have a job, I work on Sundays, I knew that that was going to be a little harder. So I started flipping through Hulu. And I said, I'm going to go and I'm going to find something that makes me think of travel. And I came across The Amazing Race. Anybody ever seen The Amazing Race? Oh, we've got an excited person back here. I used to love that show. And I found new episodes and started watching new episodes and new seasons. And I love, love, love getting to see all the places. I get incredibly stressed out by all the mistakes they make. Like, and I'm like, it's right there. Or when they don't read the clues. I think the number one way for someone to be successful on that show is to actually stop and read the clue. It's not if you're fast. It's not if you know all the languages. You have to stop and read the clue and pay the attention. Recently, I was watching this episode. It was a finale, and this team was deeply in first place. And I was like, this is awesome. They're going to do so, so well. And then I watched them drive right past a clue. I mean, big sign, clue right here. And they were so worried about the next place that they were getting that they didn't stop and pause to see what was there. And I think the truth is that is a lot like our lives. In our lives, we are so excited to get to the next place that we don't stop and pay attention to all that's around us. So I want to talk today about a characteristic of Jesus, about an attitude of Jesus that Jesus noticed people around him. He noticed and he watched for people around him. And this sounds silly, but I looked up the word, what does it mean to notice someone? and it means to pay attention to. Well, that seems basic, right? Just pay attention to people. Just pay attention to people around us. But the truth is, our lives, we get so caught up in the thing that we're doing that we miss seeing the people that are right around us. We get so caught up in everything that's going on that we don't notice the little things that are happening. I've done some reading recently about this because I find it fascinating. And I think one of the ways for us to notice other people around us is to pay attention to our own emotions as well. To be still, to look, to ponder, to not focus so much on where we're going, but to be where we are. I have also found that sometimes when we notice something that's out of the ordinary, it can absolutely transform somebody's life. If we pay attention, if we notice it. So I want to look at a moment. Usually I give you the background beforehand, but I want to give you the background afterwards on this. I want to look at a moment in the gospel according to Matthew chapter 9 where Jesus has had a big day. He's had a very, very busy day, which I'll give you details on, but I want you to see what he does in the midst of this busy day. It says this, while he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. That is faith, right? My daughter has died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be made well. Another major faith moment right there. Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, go away, for this girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. I don't think I'd laugh at Jesus. Anybody else? They laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put aside, he went in and he took her by the hand and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout the district. Would you agree that's a big day for Jesus? Some of you, yes. Some of you are like, yeah, that's like a Tuesday, right? Is that a big day for Jesus? Yes. Okay, that's not all that happened. You notice it said while. That means other stuff was already happening. Well, before this, a man who was paralyzed had been brought to Jesus. He heals him. And then Jesus is walking along and he sees Matthew, the tax collector, and he says, hey, come and follow me. He's building the team in this moment. And I am sure after Jesus has healed someone, after he has said to Matthew, come and follow me, he feels like this has been a good day. It's time for tomorrow. And then somebody comes and says, my daughter's dead. But if you heal her, if you touch her, she will be healed. I mean, it's a big, big deal. And then the woman comes in. So in this moment, as all these things are happening, John's disciples, not Jesus's disciples, but John's disciples come to Jesus and they're asking him all these theological questions. Why do you do things the way that you do them? I don't understand. How do you get to do it this way? Our rules say this, but you get to do it this way. And instead of simply telling them, in the moments, Jesus shows them. Do you see the difference? He doesn't just say, go and do A, B, C, and D. He shows them what it looks like to notice people in the midst of their story. They're asking him all these questions. Why don't your people fast the way they're supposed to? And why don't you follow the rules? And Jesus is like, hey, take a beat. Take a beat and watch what I'm going to do. Look at what happens again. Suddenly, a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. This is like a major key change in a song. He's doing this thing, he's having these conversations, somebody comes and says this, and he moves in a completely different direction. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna bring healing to this house. I'm gonna do this. You notice Jesus doesn't say, this is a tough one. He doesn't say, but you just said she's already dead. It stops him in his tracks and he goes. But as he's going to save this girl's life, something else stops him in his tracks. Look again. It says, suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I'll be made well. Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly the woman was made well. There's an image in my office, and I wish I would have taken a picture of it, of this moment. And I had always thought of this moment as like she grabbed his cloak, and this image has her crawling desperately on the floor. Oh, look, there it is. Isn't that funny how that works? And she's crawling desperately on the floor to touch the cloak of Jesus, to simply touch the space. Remember, friends, Jesus is on his way to bring somebody back to life, and he notices something that happens in the midst of a crowd, in the midst of all of these people, all these different competing priorities going on, and he notices that the woman touches his cloak. And this says she was made well simply by touching him. So it could have been the end of the story. He could have just let her be well and moved on to his next thing, but he pauses. He stops. He notices her. Now, we don't know if she was healed simply by touching him or if the words that he gave were the healing part, but she's healed. In Matthew, we're actually given very few details about this. And what's fascinating about it is it's as if this is just a Tuesday. It's just things that happen when Jesus is around. In Luke, we get a little more of the story that when she touches the cloak, the healing comes out of Jesus' cloak and brings her this healing and life. I mean, this woman, her life is changed in the midst of a crowd because Jesus noticed her. Imagine that moment for her. She's been in pain for 12 years. She's been hemorrhaging for 12 years. The scripture does say this was her last hope. It was the last thing that could bring her healing, the last thing that could bring her life. She has desperately tried to find a cure. And all of this culminates in her seeking out Jesus. And yet it all culminates in him stopping and pausing and noticing her. I remember when I was writing this, I wrote this before I went on vacation last week, as I was reading the passage and I was diving deeply into this scripture, it was incredibly convicting. I think I spend a lot of my life not noticing people, not noticing things around me. I mean, how many times, especially when my kids were little, did they come up to me and go, Dad, 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 Dad? And I'm like, wait, just one more reel, one more video. One more email to read, one more text to respond to. How many people do I drive by on the street and not notice what's going on in their lives? How many times have I said to my wife, I'm sorry, say that again, I wasn't listening? How many times do I find myself in the midst of a busy world not noticing the people around me? Anybody else? Just me. Okay, there's four of us. Four of us. Don't notice everyone around us. Friends, this is a life-changing trait that Jesus offers to the world. It literally changes people's lives. There are many distractions that are appealing. Funny videos, social media posts, our phones, entertainment. Last night, our family went to see the new Toy Story, which I highly recommend, Toy Story 5, if you haven't seen it. And it's all about the distractions that come in life that steal us from the things that we could have joy. And listen, distractions can be good. Sometimes you come home from a day of work and it's been a real hard day and you need some mind-numbing distractions. I think sometimes, though, distractions have unintended consequences. They tell the people around us that they don't matter. Distractions tell the people around us that we don't care about them. Distractions tell people around us that they're not important. I think if we want to glean anything from this moment, from this story, this interaction that Jesus has with her, that there is healing, there is depth, there is discovery in noticing the things and people around us. It's noticing when someone sitting around you sighs. What might that mean? How do we ask them what that means? It's noticing more intently and finding glimpses into greater understanding. And it's in those moments that we find the healing of relationships. You know what I think part of our problem is? We don't notice one another anymore. We don't see one another anymore. We don't see what we're walking through. And I think for me, I won't speak for you, I am so driven by getting from A to B that I miss the space in between. I miss the people that are along the journey. I miss the moments. And listen, I know not all of us have kids, but as somebody whose kids are all about to fly, man, I miss too many moments. I didn't notice too many things. I didn't pause enough to see. I think what Jesus shows us in this moment is that if we miss something along the journey, we might miss something that actually would transform our lives. We might miss a moment that would actually change us, not just the people around us. All most of us have to do in order to understand the depth of power is to do some reflection time on someone who noticed us. Can you think of somebody who noticed you in your life? Somebody that made you feel decent about who you are? Maybe it was somebody that remembered something, that asked you a question, someone that when you walked up to them, they said your name and you'd only met them once and you were shocked that they remembered. Somebody who remembered that you had surgery, somebody who remembered that you were struggling with something, somebody that remembered something about you and noticed you. Friends, hold on to those moments, because if you can remember the way people made you feel, I bet you can make other people feel that way as well. I think we can do that. You know, I can think of moments when I worked really hard on a project and I was in a work setting and someone noticed. Someone noticed an intricate detail that I paid attention to. I can remember moments where I told somebody something about my life, something about my kids, and I'll get a text and somebody will go, "Hey, how'd that lacrosse game go on Friday night?" I'm like, "How in the world do you remember that?" People who notice things change people's lives. So friends, if we take Jesus's lead and we begin to try to have the attitude of Jesus, to pay attention the way Jesus pays attention, how can we get to that place of the joy of offering that to others? I just want to give you a few things. First, I want to invite you to start with deep listening. Deep listening. This is hard. Many of us don't actually listen deeply. We listen to respond. Deep listening requires us to actively listen, to listen to the words, to listen to the inflection within the story, to look at facial expressions, body movements. And deep listening requires that instead of us offering advice, instead of us giving, here's how to do this, we say, "What I heard you say is this." I'll give you an example. Somebody comes to you, this happens all the time. We live in Northern Virginia. They're super angry that their neighbor is blowing their leaves into their yard. Right? You know it. You've cleaned your whole yard. You've done all the work. Maybe your neighbor's not even blowing leaves. Maybe they're just not cleaning up theirs. And you go out after you've done all this work and there's leaves all in your yard. And you're angry. This may sound trivial. It has led to fights and arguments, friends. Trust me. And the person comes to you, they're your next door neighbor, and they go, "Can you believe this? My neighbor's leaves all over my yard." Now you have a couple of options. You could say, "Have you contacted the HOA?" By the way, that's never the best first option, okay? You could say, "Have you gone and knocked on their door and fussed at them?" Or you can say, "Hey, it sounds like you're really frustrated. It sounds like that's really hard because you spent all day. I can't imagine how tough that is. Can I help you?" Do you see the difference? One is, let me give you all these solutions of how you can go and get more angry. Another one is, "I hear you, and I bet that's frustrating, and I bet that's hard." Empathic listening suggests that we deeply listen to people around us. That's a way to notice. Jesus does that so, so well. As people bring story after story of their life to him, situation after situation, it is as if the disciples are going, come on, Jesus, we got a lot to do today. And he's going, take a beat. I want to hear this person's story. I want to see their face. I want to listen to them. Here's the second thing. To listen more intently, we have to actually put down our devices. Ooh, that's a hard one. That is a hard one for me. Put down that phone. You know, my wife, every once in a while, will be at like a friend's house having dinner and something will buzz. I'll take out my phone. In the middle of dinner at a friend's house, and she'll look at me and she'll go. Now, you ought to know, if Susan Ward does that to you, you better put away whatever's in your hand. Because you're going to have a talk about it on the drive home. We cannot listen to people if this is in our face. I don't care how good of a multitasker you are. It is incredibly offensive to people. I remember as a kid, and I hope my dad's not watching today. I remember as a kid, my dad worked so hard, y'all. Maybe I hope he is watching, Dad. He worked so hard. The guy worked day jobs, night jobs, like all these things so that we could have the things that we needed. But when he came home and he went in the living room at night and turned that TV on, there was no conversation. There was no dialogue. And I remember as a kid being like, man, why can't I run through the living room and do this? Do you know what? I do the same thing just with my phone instead of a television. And I don't say it, but I put that thing in my face and it blocks all dialogue and conversation. I remember the summer of COVID. Anybody remember that? Feels like forever ago. Our kids' camp reached out to us and they canceled camp that summer. Say, kids can't come to camp. It's not safe. But I think they still wanted to do something. So what they did was they opened up the cabins and they said, we'll do family camp. And your family can have a whole cabin, just your family, and we'll let you do all the activities that the kids do, but you won't do them with any other families. Like, you'll go do the archery and you'll do this. And when we got there, one of the first things they said was, hey, at camp, you have to put your phone away. Yo, I was sweating. I was like, what? My whole family was there, right? It was fine. And I have to tell you, it was such a good time for us. It was such a good time for our kids to be able to have the space to lead us around. It was such a good time to put those phones away. Friends, we have to put down our devices. If we don't put them, could you imagine if the woman came and touched Jesus's cloak and he was like, hold on. This is a good one. Just give me a minute. I mean, like, seriously? We would all be like, what is wrong with Jesus? But of course he doesn't do that. And you might say, that's because he didn't have cell phone. They had tablets. Dad joke. Okay, all right. Here's the last one. Finally, we have to remember that we are noticed, that God notices you. If you feel today like you're the woman who's been bleeding for 12 years, you are noticed. If you feel like you are struggling with something, you are noticed. If you feel like you are in a wayward place and you don't know where you're going, you are noticed. Christ notices you right now, no matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter what your story is. We sang this song, and I haven't sang this song in a few years. Oh, how he loves us. I mean, it's a beautiful song, and we have to, there's a line in it, and the team even asked me this morning because they rewrote the song at some point. It says, and heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss. Oh my gosh, in the worship world, this goes back and forth. Can we say sloppy wet kiss in church? Yes, we can, and we did. But what's so beautiful about that is it's complicated and it's challenging, but Christ meets us in the midst of our sloppy wet kiss, in the midst of our moment, in the midst of the challenges, in the midst of the realities. You are noticed, friends. And here's what I pray for each of us, for you and for me. We are on the amazing race together. All of us are going through life. And we're missing clue after clue after clue after clue because we're not pausing to notice. We're not reading the directions of the people around us because we're not putting down our phone. Listen to folks. Know that you are noticed and loved. Take on the attitude of Jesus. Friends, we want community. We want relationship. The way to get to that is to have the Jesus attitude because it will change each of our lives. Let me pray for us. God, I pray, God, that we might stop and pause, that we might listen, that we might pay attention, that we might put our devices down, that we might notice people around us. God, not simply notice by looking at them, but listening and talking to folks. God, that we might take on the very attitude of Jesus to care, and maybe in a greater way that we might know that we are loved. That we might know, God, how deeply you love us, how deeply you care about us. Let us be people that transform ourselves and love people around us to transform each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen.